Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Is a former colleague of Rob and mine. Great guy, man. Loves basketball. Does a great job of covering it.
Especially when he gets it right.
There.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, he's the founder of True Hoop. Our man, Henry Abbott. Henry, what's up, brother?
Henry, what's happening?
How are you guys? What's going on?
Yeah, hey, good, man. You gave TV and radio shows plenty of fodder today. Thank you.
and you heard what I said, and you know when he's getting it right, because you know how it is when you break news. There's like a million people always trying to tell you right. You don't have it, you know?
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
It's such a hairy game, right?
It is.
Part of me is like, okay, what would you rather I do? I wasn't even chasing this story, but like I learned something, right? I learned something that matters tremendously to NBA fans. Like, okay, I have two choices: I can write the story, or I can not write the story. Like,
you're a reporter. You're going to write it.
Absolutely.
You're going to write it. No matter what. You know what? People push back all the time.
I know.
Man, I've had stories rock solid from people, and then you hear other people like, oh, that's not true. I don't know where you got that from or whatever. And you know you got it.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
I've
no
had
doubt.
Moments where, quietly someone tells me X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 you know. Good to go, run with it, rock solid. I check it out, blah, blah, blah. I report it. And then that same person is on TV being like, this is outrageous. I don't know where,
I don't know where that came from. Right.
it is
amazing.
That is the truth, man.
And for the people
today.
Out there, I just want to say this, Chris. And for the people out there, did you hear what he said? He said, Henry said, that he got it and he checked it out. He didn't just roll with it. You know what I mean? From one person. You got to
right.
check. No matter who tells you, you need to check around. So everybody who thinks that reporters are just throwing stuff out there, it's not true.
Here's what I've been saying this for, 15 years. I think every single one of us should have a batting average after our byline. It should say Henry Abbott.
I like
and
that.
And I'm pretty proud to say, I think it would say 97%. It's not 100%, but it's 90. And then if it's 32%, just take it as you will. It's fine, but like the record is the reason is the way that you know that I'm not just making this crap up, right? Like,
so what do you? I mean, you saw the press conference, Damian Lillard denying it and all that. So where do you like? What do you make of that? Like, what do you say to all that?
I mean, if I'm gonna, I respect the hell out of Damian Lillard is so important to my family that there was a moment this spring when my daughter was checking her phone. And got the news that she got into the college that she's going to attend. It's a life-changing moment. But my wife didn't hear it because she was tuning out everyone to listen to Damian Lillard's post-game talk.
Wow.
like we respect Damian at our house,
yes.
Right? Like as a man, as a worker, as a basketball player in every way. Like, okay. But if I'm going to be mean to Dame, I would say that he's like, no, it's not true that I'm going to ask for a trade request. But instead, I'm not going to not ask for a trade request.
Right.
Right? Like, okay,
right.
Okay, if that's important to you, like, let's say it that way then, fine. Like, very good. Like, what happened, but, you know, let's see how the next few weeks play out.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm just going to say I'm happy for your daughter going to Southern Connecticut State University. That would be life-changing for her.
What if she was really going there?
Well, that's my alma mater, so I'm just saying.
So, Henry, because you're right. I mean, you listen to the press conference with Lillard, and after he denies it, I mean, he's making demands that just, I mean, are they don't even seem reasonable. Like, we got to make changes to get better. What can they even do to meet his desires? You know what I'm saying? Like, realistically, what's out there? So, how do you think this thing plays out? Like, let's say 2 months from now, where is Damian Lillard? Or at least some of the possible places you think.
One thing that's a very real possibility is that, he's right now, he's with LeBron and the Space Jam crew, and he's with Team USA, and there have been a lot of players of Dame's caliber have assembled super teams, right? And
right.
He would like to assemble a super team, and they haven't done that, and there are various reasons why. And I'm sure he's walked into Neil Olshay's office 100 times and said, this guy wants to play here, let's get it done, and it hasn't happened, right? That's just life. It might be a little bit because Neil Olshay is particularly attached to the players he drafted, right? This is one of the things I'm hearing is, like, you know, if you could have moved C.J. McCollum for somebody, they didn't because he's a Neil Olshay guy, right? That's one of the things I've heard. But so now he's saying that basically, like, he's withholding his full endorsement. He's not 100% like, I'll be there fighting right. to the death with these guys, right? So that is a – it's not exactly – thing to trade me, but it's withholding your services like Steve Francis, he's drafted by the team in Canada or whatever, right? Like,
right.
So I think there's like this, like, this is the leverage you have, right? Is the trade demand.
He made no commitment to them whatsoever. No commitment.
Except when
whatsoever.
He signed the contract, right?
Right,
he,
right. Of course. Well, that's guaranteed cheddar. Of course he's going to make that commitment.
Let's go there, Henry. They got, yeah. This isn't Anthony Davis or James Harden with a year and a half, two yeah. years left on the deal. This is 4 years left.
Right.
What do you think the chances are that Neil Olshay is like, look, Dame, we love you. We're not trading you. I mean, we're not. And what could he do? He'd have to play.
Yeah, so this is where I think there's a weird – I think he – and his camp have cleverly assessed that there's a little bit of extra leverage here, which is Jody Allen. Well, I didn't see you ask, but, like, plenty of people think Jody Allen's going to sell the team soon.
Right.
And so, you know, it needs to look valuable and together and contending to get top dollar, right? And so disgruntled Dame doesn't help the sales value. And also the next owner doesn't want to spend $2 billion or whatever and come in and then rip, like, the city's heart out by – trading him then, right? So I think it needs to be settled before the team can sell for top dollar. Some people tell me they're not going to sell it. I don't know. But lots of people think they are going to sell it. And there's something about Paul Allen's will has some clause that after a certain amount of time, the team isn't making money, it has to be sold. And I don't know if that's activated yet or at all, but it's real. So I think there's a little pressure around the perception of the team, and that's where Dame can you know turn the screws a little bit.
Do you have any idea where he might want to go? I mean, we've heard Knicks, Philadelphia, the Lakers, which seems completely unrealistic, but are you hearing any of that stuff, like where he might want to go?
So this is a frustrating position for me to be in. I'm going to try to write a follow-up soon about this question you're asking. I did hear from a great source that there is one team, which is a bummer because it's like, well, which one? I don't know
right,
the answer to that.
Right.
The guesses that I've heard are basically Lakers or Knicks. I don't know how either one could have the best offer, though. I mean,
absolutely
honestly,
right.
Like, the Knicks are like, yeah, we'll send you Obi Toppin. I'm like, there's just no way that's going to be the best offer. You know
if I'm
mean?
Him,
like,
I'm trying to go to Philly.
That's what I'm saying. I totally agree. I really think that they would win a championship. Like, I think Joel Embiid and Damian Lillard is perfect.
They'd be right there. There's no doubt about that. They would be right there.
This is the other thing that's a little surprising with this, and I get it, but we're watching the Phoenix Suns, who didn't even make the playoffs of last year without a super team, and we're watching a small market Milwaukee with Giannis, who got ripped for staying there, right, and not joining other people, and they're in a championship. Giannis is two wins away. This is weird for me that this is – this is what makes him feel like he needs to go somewhere else to win?
Well, I
mean, does that make
it
sense?
Hasn't worked where he is, right? I mean, I'm a Blazers fan. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of value. And the Blazers haven't been terrible, right? They've been in the playoffs almost every year.
No, they've been a good team, right.
Like, yeah. They could be kind of like the Mavericks where you hang around for a decade and then you suddenly win one. Like, that could happen.
Right.
But, yeah, it's... their defense is terrible, right? And partially it's terrible because of Dame. I hate to say it, but like he's, you know, he's part of the problem there too. And actually one guy I was on the phone with today was like, oh, you want to pick your coach? Like in my experience, every time players pick a coach who doesn't make them play defense.
right. You know, exactly. And I would think that's one thing Chauncey tries to instill.
Yeah.
I said this earlier, Henry, Chris Paul is seeking to become only the third small player ever to lead his team to a championship. Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry, yeah. Chris Paul. Is Dame, yeah. who's 6'2", he's small, is he yeah. good enough to lead a team to a championship? Like, be the best player on a championship team?
It's very hard to be small and 31.
Yes,
right? Like, it's a little different
thing.
when you're 24, being small isn't quite so crazy. But yeah, this is, I mean, I watch a lot of that guy playing basketball, and it's been taxing on him these last few years, right? Like, he left the bubble with two injuries. And this season, when CJ was out, there was a period where he played tons of minutes, and like then he had to take a week off because he was just exhausted, right? Like, right. I think when you're that small, your 80% effort night is worth nothing. Right, you don't have those like standstill, right. bucket, put back, whatever. Like, you got to work for everything. So yeah, I think it's a real. I mean, if you're Neil O'Shea, I think, or whoever runs the Blazers this time next week, like, right. I think you have right. to really think about like how is he going to age? Like, it's going to be hard.
Yep. All right. Well, Henry, great stuff, man. Great
thanks,
job
Henry.
Today.
Appreciate it.
All right,
and
thanks,
stay on top of this, man. I know you will. Have a good
all
weekend,
right, safe
brother.
Safe travels tonight, Rob.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's stay with the NBA, but we're going to talk about Team USA star Kevin Durant, of course, Brooklyn Nets star as well. And he was talking to Sports Illustrated this week, I presume. And he was asked about the Brooklyn Nets kind of being the NBA's version of the New World Order. And you, those of you who are wrestling fans might remember that was 1996 when Hulk Hogan joined forces with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall to form the New World Order. And they became...
Chris, what are you talking about? I mean, really, you remember this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Actually, I'm reading it off Rob G's notes, but...
Oh, all right.
I stopped watching wrestling in eighth grade. I was into it from like sixth, seventh, and eighth grade.
That was back when
there was the Junkyard Dog and Jimmy Superfly Snooker.
Now,
and all
I remember the New World Order, but I was just like impressed.
I didn't remember it.
I was impressed that you were like breaking it down. So I was just like, does he really know this? Or what am I missing?
Apparently Rob G was a big
Rob
New World
G.
Order
were
fan.
You that big of a wrestling fan? We need to know.
At that time, yeah. I mean, I was like 8 years old at that time. So that was big.
It's great when you think it's real.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
when did you find out it was real? Were you like, oh, man?
You know what? I should have known early because my dad worked at the LA Sports Arena, and they used to have wrestling events all the time. So we'd see the guys like backstage mingling, and I was like, oh, you know, Undertaker can't go over there because, you know, they might pop off.
Right.
So little did we know they were all friends at the time. But I should have known then that things were off.
Well, anyway, of course, that was the hated trio in wrestling. And Brooklyn, turns out, according to a survey they did, they are the hated team in the NBA.
Remember
Charles
Barkley rooted against them, was like, I don't want them to win. You remember, he went on the air and said it.
Absolutely. And I get, look, we obviously both picked the Nets, so we were hoping they win it, justify our picks. But
for our picks, right.
I get why... You know, come on. If anybody, including Durant, yeah, I think Durant even gets it. Because he talked about it like, you know, we got three guys that a lot of people don't like. And he's right. They don't like KD because he went to the Warriors, 73-win team with a championship. And he's a social media pirate. All right? He's always on social media and has been proven to have a burner account. And I think he's still got some. But had a burner account. So all of that, Kyrie, of course, has made comments about why is Christmas a holiday, the earth is flat, so on and so forth. So a lot of people don't like him because of that. And then James Harden because of the way he left Houston. And so they are the villains, right? And I mean, the super teams just keep up in the ante, don't they? You had LeBron in the Heat, and then KD won up that by going to the Warriors. And this, as far as just sheer individual talent,
right?
For them, they won up them all.
Once they got James Harden, like the two, would have been the two, Chris. That was like, okay, you need two
players.
That's
not really even a super team, right?
No, that's not a super team. It's just two free agents. And with the other, and remember, with the other teammates, it was a really good team, but James Harden made it a super team.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, KD gets it, but I get here just ironically talking about why KD is disliked by many, talking about him being a social media pirate. I guess he's on a Twitter binge right now. Rob G, explain what's going on.
Yeah, KD is trending as we speak. Now, you guys may not have seen this because I know that at your age, you got to take the pre-show naps. And, you know, so you can be ready to go for these three hours of audio glory. But about 20 minutes before our show started, KD jumped in something called Twitter Spaces. Now, what Spaces is like an audio version of Twitter where anyone can get in and listen. They select a few people who can talk, and KD was invited.
So KD would select the people?
No, somebody else did it. So what happened was KD was going back and forth with people on Twitter earlier today about his time in Golden State, and he was responding specifically to people who were suggesting that one of the reasons he left Golden State was because of the fans and the media, you know, not giving him the kind of love that he thought he deserved. And okay. He kept saying, that's not true. Why would you believe Ethan Strauss? Like, that doesn't make any sense, blah, 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 blah. So a few Warriors podcast guys created a Spaces and invited him in. So KD jumped in there and immediately starts.
Only he would.
Yeah,
immediately
starts tearing down Ethan Strauss, saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Why would you believe him? So then they ask him, well, why don't you clarify it? And he's like, well, why do I got to clarify anything? Why don't you just believe what I'm saying?
Why would he go on?
Just to give you an illustration, though, of as to what social media is, and this is peak Twitter at this point. At one point, one of the guys is telling Kevin Durant, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And then he says to him.
The guy saying that to KD?
Yes, to Kevin Durant. And then he says to him, like, explaining why Steph Curry is a better player than, I think, James Harden. And they're discussing the nuances of the game. So KD asks him to explain a double team. And this guy tries to lecture Kevin Durant on the intricacies of basketball. So that's where we're at now in social media. But it just goes to show exactly what we're talking about. Kevin Durant, not only was he tweeting up a storm, he actually jumped into a Twitter Spaces, and now he's trending because of his responses.
Rob, what do you make of KD? Like you said, he's the only guy that would do that. I mean, who knows who these might be 16-year-olds for all we know. You know, who that he's in there with. What do you make of all this?
I just don't understand. If I had a gazillion dollars and I was a big-time basketball player, I'd do my press requirements and kind of leave it at that. You know, but these guys have grown up in a different era where they're bothered by other people. You know what I mean? And what other people say bothers them. And they the idea that someone's against them, or like even the term haters, like the whole idea, you're a hater if you disagree or you have a different opinion. You know, or Chris, if you're not on board with somebody, then you're a hater. I mean, the whole idea of it is ridiculous. You don't have to be a hater. I don't have to hate you if I just don't think you're the best player in the world, or I don't think you're, you know, the greatest shooter in the world. That doesn't make you a hater because it's all.
If you think Michael Jordan's better than LeBron, it doesn't make you a hater of LeBron.
That doesn't make me a hater of LeBron. I just think Michael is better. You know, my point of view or my opinion, and that's all it is. But that's where we are, and these guys can't seem to get enough of it.
I've changed my tune on Kevin Durant on social media. And here's why. Like, is he sensitive? I mean, I guess that's what everybody
says.
He's
the Masseau. You know that. The most sensitive of all time.
But here's my thing. if he was that sensitive, then I think it would impact him. I mean, I think it would mess up his play. Rob, we both were sports writers in New York City. We saw guys who were great elsewhere.
Couldn't play
and
in
came
New York.
Couldn't play in New York.
Yep.
Because the back pages or whatever, the criticism, the
sports
pressure.
Talk radio.
Yes,
right.
They couldn't all handle that. That, to me, that's sensitive. Right? Because they get in your head.
I understand
now
what
you're
saying.
Yourself.
Like, because you can't perform. Right.
Right.
By it. But
like,
I don't know.
I
don't
just
know
think
if you
KD, like, and he and I, you know, we've gone back and forth DMs. He'll slide into my DMs every now and then. And
remember,
and,
you don't have his phone
something.
Number, so
know,
you never
right.
text him, okay?
Right,
you never
right.
text him.
Yeah. And he slides into my DMs and start talking about something. And I asked him one day, I was like, yo, man, why are you up on social media? Like, going at freaking 15-year-olds, like
right.
random cats. And he was like, look, I got time, and I enjoy the back and forth. And like you said, Rob, he grew up in this. It's like
right.
social media to them is like TV to me and you.
Right, right. It's
you
just,
know, they,
it's totally,
they can't even imagine not being it being in their world. And I got to, like I said, to me, I'm starting to think, you know what, Kevin Durant is just that dude. That if you say something to him, he's not going to let it slide. He's not going to laugh it off. He's going to confront you. And if it's a reporter in a press conference or if it's some random person on social media, he's generally going to confront you. And my thing is, as long as it doesn't impact his play negatively, if he can still go out there and be one of the best players in the world, you know what? I'm cool with it now. I mean, whatever. If that's what he wants to do, fine.
Right. No, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. I just find it odd. That's all. I'm with you. It's up to – I think he's odd. I just think that there's so many other things. I get it. He's got a company, and he's doing all these other things. But it just seems to be like a waste of time to me. Like, you can't satisfy everybody, Chris. You could go on Twitter
Absolutely.
And respond to everybody and say, like me, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You'll never get everybody on board.
Never.
So what's the point of it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I totally. One of the things I tell myself, because we get criticism, Rob, obviously, in our line of work, too. And I say, look, you can never please everybody.
Right.
Jesus never sinned. And people hated him. You know what I'm saying?
I told you a million times.
I mean, real talk.
My mom said to me.
They killed him.
She said to me when I came on one day to school about somebody not liking me or something. And she just said, everybody didn't like Jesus Christ either. So you're in good company. And that's it. Once she said that, it was like, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going – everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like, Chris, the way you go about it, no matter what.
No matter what. That's why in our position, Rob, in our job, you just got to say what you're going to say.
Right.
You know, we don't go out of our way to, like, purposely tear anybody down.
No.
But we just try to call it like we see it.
But some of the
biggest – you can't worry about what's this player going to think. Because you can try to appease a player or a coach, and it still might not work.
And you know what?
So
they'll like it one time, Chris, and then the one time you're critical of them, they get bent out of shape.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you could write 10 great things or say 10 great things. And which one will you – they won't hit you up on no.
Yep.
Only the
That's
one
right.
that they don't like.
That's exactly right.
So you're like, oh, you didn't hear what I said a week ago or you didn't hear what I said the last 3 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
no, you're right. Look, Charles Barkley, Rob, would never have become the Hall of Fame broadcaster he is if he was worried about what everybody thought.
Yep.
This wouldn't have happened.
And you got to remember, he lost his friendship with Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Seriously, he's taking some hits. But what he does in the business is good and unique. And some of the best people in our industry and the highest paid are people who are highly hated. They just are.
Yeah, that's right. All you that want to get into this, you got to have thick skin.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's that? That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's the Odd Couple with former MLB veteran Rod Allen.
That's right. It is foul or fair. The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, a segment where we discuss all of the biggest headlines around the world of baseball. In order to do so properly, we had to bring in a real expert, none other than my man, Rod Allen. Rod, what's up, buddy?
Yo!
Hey, what up, fellas? I'm chilling. Hey, it's a little noisy here. I'm at Chase Field. Rob, I know you'd appreciate this. Chris, you too. But I'm back on the radio with the Diamondbacks here for a few games in the month of August. I'm just here doing some homework, as I always do. But one thing, y'all gonna have to start paying me some money now. I'm a professional analyst again.
Hey, Rob G, get on it now. Get on it. Hey,
Rob, you already know.
Congrats, though. That's some great stuff.
Congratulations.
That's great.
Man, that's great.
Great.
Yeah, awesome. I'm sitting there watching the Cubs take BP right now.
All right, y'all, let's get into it. Now, and again, we're heading into the second half of the season, so all of these questions are themed towards what's going to happen the rest of the way here. So here we go. Question number one. Shohei Ohtani has 33 homers through 89 games, putting him on pace for 60 on the season. Now, it should be noted that he's at 16 in his last 23 games entering the break. So, Rod, here's a question. Foul or fair to say that Ohtani won't even hit 50 home runs, much less 60, at the end of this season?
Oh, that's absolutely foul.
That is a foul ball.
After watching what this young man did for 3 days at the All-Star game, how gracious he was, the power he displayed, the arm that he has, and the talent and skill set, I could never bet against this young man. I was so in awe of the way that he carried himself at the All-Star game. I would never bet against Ohtani. I got him hitting 50. The only way that he doesn't hit 50 is if the game changes and goes back to the way it used to be, where they start walking the best hitter on the other team. Then he won't get any at-bats. Other than that, he gets it.
I'm going to say it's fair.
It's a fair ball.
Because it just depends. You just said it, Rod. You know, when teams are trying to win games later on, Chris, in the second half of the season, and Ohtani's their big stick in the lineup, why would I give him anything to hit? You know what I mean? I'll go with the other guys. I think that's what's going to hurt him. And Rod just kind of talked about it, so I'm going to say he won't get to 50.
I think it's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Look, man, he's 33. He's almost there. He's only got 17 left, and he's basically got half the season left. Nah, I think this dude is on fire. Rob G talked about 16 homers in his last 23 games. I think he's hitting his stride. I just hope he stays healthy. That's what I feel for him the whole way as far as pitching and hitting. Outside of that, I think he'll get enough pitches to get 50.
All right, we keep it moving. Question number two, foul or fair with Rod Allen on the Odd Couple. Fernando Tatis Jr. has 29 homers and 20 steals on the season. All this despite playing in just 74 total games. The guy's a monster.
Incredible. Incredible.
Padres got 69 games left on the season entering Friday's action. So, Rod, is it foul or fair to say that Tatis Jr. could join that ever-elusive 40-40 club?
I'm going to go fair.
It's a fair ball.
As you mentioned, there's only a handful of guys that have been able to go 40-40, and he is one of those guys for me. Did you see this guy in that pink suit on the purple carpet at the All-Star game? This guy is dripping with swag. There's no way that he won't do it. This guy is so special. I mean, Ohtani might be the face of baseball right now, but this guy is a close second. I love everything about him. I got him hitting 40 and also still in 40. I'm not betting against Tatis.
I'm going to say foul or fair to say?
I'm going to say
it's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get the stolen bases. He hasn't done that yet in about the number of games he's got left. He's never stolen 20 in that period, that space. So he's on pace right now, I know, but I think he's going to slow down on the base pass. So I think he'll get the homers probably. But I think the stolen bases are going to trip him up.
I'm going to say that it is fair that he'll get it.
It's a fair ball.
I just think that, you know, the way the Padres have something to play for, they're in a race with the Dodgers and the Giants, Every base is going to matter. Every game is going to matter. And if he could steal a base and get closer to, you know, and being in scoring position. So all their games from here on out, there are three teams in the West, NL West, trying to make the playoffs. So every game, every inning, every at-bat's going to matter the rest of the year.
By the way, Tatis Jr. has one stolen base already tonight in the third inning.
Oh, there we go, Chris.
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
19 to go.
All right, here we go. Last but not least.
Good call, Rob G. Very nice.
Question number three. Thanks, Rob. Jacob DeGrom is having arguably the greatest single season by any pitcher in Major League Baseball. Rob, listen to this.
Really?
Okay. His 1.08 ERA, strikeouts per nine innings, and opponent's batting average are all the lowest of all time. Not among the lowest right now. That said, Rod, is it foul or fair to say that when it's all said and done, DeGrom won't set a new mark in any one of those three categories?
I say foul.
That is a foul ball.
I don't think he gets the ERA at 1-1-2, which Bob Gibson had back in 68. But strikeouts per nine, he could most definitely do that. And opponent's batting average against him, he can definitely do that. The only thing that worries me about DeGrom is whether he stays on that pitching rubber or not, because he's been in and out of the starting rotation so many times this year with little nagging injuries. But as far as stuff is concerned, there's no question he can still lead baseball all time in strikeouts per nine. No question.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's foul.
That is a foul ball.
I'm with Rod. He'll get a couple of them, but not all three. But I still say this, and I'm not knocking the year he's having, but his year is not going to be better than Dwight Gooden's 1985, 24-4, 1.58 ERA, 16 complete games. It's just he pitches, DeGrom pitches five or six innings, and I know he dominates for that, but Gooden pitched the whole games, and Bob Gibson's season, 1968, I mean, those to me are way better because those guys pitched all the way through, Chris, so. I just had to throw that out.
I think it's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Look, he's got three shots, right? He just needs to get one of them. So I definitely think he can get one of them. But I'm with you, Rob. Like, I'll say this as far as, like, strikeouts per nine innings. He's got an advantage.
Right.
If he's only throwing six innings, he's essentially fresh for his
entire
time he pitches, right? And you brought up Gooden and these other guys that used to go eight, nine innings. You know, you got to work through when you're worn out. So your strikeouts aren't going to be as high at that point as far as per nine innings. So he does have an advantage. There's no, and that goes for every one of them, right?
Nowadays.
ERA. It goes for ERA, too, because you're only out there when you're fresh.
Rod, am I right about that 1985 Gooden season? You remember that. He was unhittable.
Gooden was special. No question. I mean, he went out there and he was pitching nine innings, and he was a youngster then. That curveball and the fastball was 98 miles an hour. And he was playing in New York. It was a phenomenal season for Doc. It was one that you have not seen many of. But, you know, like I said, DeGrom is special, too.
Oh, no doubt. I'm just saying it's different with guys pitching 16 complete games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they don't do that. You might not have a lead with 16 complete games.
Right. You definitely won't have a staff.
Well, by the way, guys, he's also the all-time leader this season in whip and strikeouts walk ratio. So five categories, he's number one all time.
Crazy.